This is Witches, Bitches, and Dead People with intuitive oracle Jamie Hearn. Jamie stirs the cauldron with witches, shamans, healers, psychics, and mediums who bravely share their power and give you insight into what conversations with dead people really look like. It's probably not what you think. Sometimes hilarious, sometimes macabre, and always informative.
Hello and welcome. This is Jamie, and I'm super excited to have Dr. Heidi Carby on Witches, Bitches, and Dead People with us today. Heidi's specialty is human behavior, with 30 plus years of coaching to guide women to find unshakable inner peace and purpose. She has appeared on numerous TV outlets, and she's also been featured in many publications. She has co-authored multiple books and loves speaking at international events. I think we'll have to hit up the international event circuit because I also love international events. She loves hosting experiential retreats, bringing conscious awareness and attunement to our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual bodies, leveraging the healing powers of Mother Nature. I mean, sounds like a pretty perfect day in my world. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, yeah, the retreats are awesome. I just love those. So we work with the mind, of course, but we also work with the body. We'll do like barefoot walking in the forest or, you know, sea dipping in the cold sea. And we'll work with the breath to help connect with the emotions. You can connect with the breath and breathe them out. And love to work with meditation and all sorts of things. So it's cool.
Having those experiences with a group of other people, especially a facilitator like you, to me, allows you to go so much deeper than just watching a YouTube video. I mean, not to discount the people who consume content that way, but I find being there, doing, and holding space and being held in that space is so powerful.
Yeah, especially in a group, like you say. I think there's something special about the group energy and group dynamics. So if you're in a circle and people are sharing experiences and one person goes deep, they go open-hearted and they're vulnerable and they let it out. They show their rawness and their pureness. And then suddenly everyone goes deep and it's just beautiful. And that's when you really see people and you feel seen and you feel understood and then you feel loved. And so it's really special.
Absolutely. Like it's, to me, it's the idea of the rising tide raising all ships.
Yes. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I like that.
So tell us a little bit about your background.
Oof, yeah. good one, really. I guess there's lots to tell. I was homeless at age 15.
Oh, wow.
I was living in a squat. With lots of drug addicts and, you know, down and outs and not a penny to my name. I think I had 50p maybe, like nothing, right? Like 50 cents. And I was hungry and I wanted to study and I didn't know how to get to study and buy books and things like that. So I went to college and I signed up for college, yeah, with my dirty hair because I couldn't afford shampoo and so on. Oh. I signed up for college, but I couldn't pay for it, but I didn't need to pay till the end of the year. I thought, well, I'll work that out later. I'll just go to college first and then I'll work that out how to pay later. And off I went. And I'd go to like betting shops and I'd steal little pens so I could write homework. And I had a really nice maths teacher. I did maths and she used to steal reams of paper from the staff room and give me like A4 printing paper so I could write on the paper and I could do my work and it was great. And I ended up getting some, you know, cash in hand job, illegal job, because I couldn't be employed because I didn't have an address. And I got this cash in hand job at a pizzeria. So then I got a free pizza. So I had food. I mean, maybe not the healthiest food, but you know, it was great.
But resourceful,
and I wanted
nonetheless.
To do it, right? Yeah. And then I worked through college and I funded myself through university and got my degree and then did my master's and PhD and I did really well. And then I went and kind of joined the real world of, you know, work like everyone else does.
Well, yeah. But it kind of sounds like you had a pretty drastic introduction to the real world. And look at what you've done with that. That's amazing.
Well, I had a nice childhood, but, you know, things happened and, you know, circumstances change. So, yeah, I think what it taught me, actually, having nothing, you know, not knowing where I'm going to get food, I haven't eaten for 3 days, I'm hungry, I'm sick, I'm cold, you know, there's no blankets, there's no bed, there's, you know, it's icy cold, damp, I'm coughing all the time, I've got asthma, I can't afford inhalers. They're apparently a luxury item, you need to pay for them. Can't afford tampons, you know, like basic stuff, can't afford toothpaste. So that going from that, so then now having a life, I've got a beautiful house, beautiful husband, two lovely girls. I'm just so privileged and so grateful for everything that I have now. And I just think where I was then, I think, God, if I can do that, anyone can, right?
Well, but that's an amazing story about having the paradigm of possibility.
Yes. And that was the key. I always had hope. That's the thing I never lost. Even though I had nothing and I didn't know where it was going to come from, I always knew it would be all right in the end. It'll work out. I just had this. And it wasn't optimism. It wasn't a false optimism. It was just a really strong core belief that I would be okay. And that carried me through.
And you were right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I was.
So I'm sure that's really a pretty spiritual experience, but tell us about some other spiritual experiences you've had over the years.
Yeah. So during that time, I was very much in survival mode and I didn't actually have deep spiritual experiences. I was almost switched off from my spiritual self at that time. Okay, I was having a huge learning experience. But before that, when I was young, when I was a kid, I'd see ghosts and things would move and, you know, things would happen and I'd think it was part of normal life. And then I realized not everyone sees these things, or, you know, I'd have a dream that the dog would die and then the dog died. You know, I'd see things before they happened. It's not always nice. But I just thought it was normal. And then it kind of switched off when I was in this survival mode, because I think I was literally just in my physical body trying to cope with, you know, being warm and having food and being healthy and, you know.
Yeah, basic needs.
Exactly. But it did come back. It came back. I was probably around 30 when it came back. And it was just a random thing where I was looking for something. Yeah. And I'd read somewhere that if you need to find something lost, you have to close your eyes and connect with it. And it'll tell you where it is. I thought, I'm just going to try that. I thought, because why not? So yeah. I did. I closed my eyes and I connected with it. I think it was I was looking for a document that I'd had from university. So from years before. It was in boxes. We'd moved house lots of times. And it was in a box. And there's tons of boxes in the garage. And it's nighttime and it's dark. And I needed it for the next morning, of course. And I'm like, oh, I'm trying to rummage around with a little torch. Thinking, I'll never find it in this plethora of boxes. I thought, I'm going to connect. I'm going to close my eyes and connect. And I did, and I swear to God, it's just like really insane. But when I opened my eyes, I could see all these boxes on the back wall, and one of them looked so much brighter than the other ones. It was like third to the right, second one down, like just there it was. And it just was shining out at me. I thought, okay, I'm going to look in that one. And I took the boxes off it, you know, kind of climbed up, got it out, pulled it out, you know, no idea what's in it, opened it up. Pick right on the top, there it was. And I was like, this is awesome.
It is.
How is that possible? This is great. And so that was like a really random event that kind of helped me connect back to that, that those gifts and those abilities that have always been in me, but have been a bit quiet and hidden and pushed to the side for a while. So yeah, that was kind of the start of many things happening.
I love that. So did that reignite the presence of them on a consistent basis?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I thought just with that experience, I'm going to try it again. And my husband lost his wedding ring. He took it off. He always takes it off in random places. around the house. He never knows where it is. And he'd lost it and he'd been looking for it for a while. And I was like, oh, you need to do this, connect with the lost things. And he's like, don't be ridiculous. I'm not, I don't believe in any of that. I was like, no, come on, just do it. And he's like, oh God, he's probably at the back of the couch. And then he stormed out and went off and he didn't believe in it and he didn't want to try it. And that was it. So whilst he was gone, I thought, okay, I'm going to look at the back of the couch. And there it was. I was like, oh, I called him. I said, you were right. You did it. You know, it's funny. Doesn't matter whether you believe or not, it still works.
And that's so funny that he was like the reluctant participant.
yeah exactly. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's funny.
So how do these spiritual experiences guide you in your professional life and what you offer to clients?
So I've been doing meditations for a long time. I think I'm kind of a lifelong meditator. When I was young, I would sit and kind of focus on something, an object, and I would just zone everything else out and just focus on this object, and then the world would kind of disappear, which is like a form of meditation, like Toccata meditation. And then, or I would chant something and I would repeat a phrase, like a sentence, and I'd repeat it again and again and again and again and again. And that would stop the other thoughts in my head from coming in. And I'd use it like a coping mechanism when things were a bit difficult. And so it was natural for me to meditate for myself. And then at some point I decided I'm going to meditate with other people. Yeah. And I started experimenting with it. And I did some training in India. My family are from India, hence the weird name. Weird for Western people, obviously not weird over there.
Right, weird is totally relative.
Yeah, exactly. So I did the training, and I really loved meditation. And I had this experience where I was sat in the office. I work online quite a lot, and I was sat in the office, and I looked out the window. And it's a bit like The Shining box. There was this shining field. It's like there were clouds everywhere. And you know when you've got a gap in the clouds and you could see these sunbeams coming through. And they were like pointing at this field and lighting it up. And they were just like, come here. And I was like, I'm gonna get it. And I just packed up. I grabbed a blanket, a flask of tea, and my hiking boots. And I drove to the bottom of the mountain and I hiked up the mountain to this field that I could see on the other side of the valley. And I got into this field. I thought, okay, what am I going to do? Okay, I'm going to meditate. What else? And I went into the middle of the field and I was doing this meditation. And something hit me in the middle of it, like an unveiling of another perspective, I guess you would say it. But it was like this truth of we're all connected to everything. And when I was sat there, I started pouring with tears because I realized the trees that were surrounding the field were helping me breathe. And I'd always taken them for granted that the trees are providing me oxygen. And the reason I'm alive is because the trees have always been providing me oxygen. And then I thought about all these connections I've had with trees in my whole life. Like if ever I'm stressed and I go for a walk in the forest, I always feel better afterwards, you know? Or I don't know if you ever hug trees. I love doing that. or you're sitting under a tree and you're looking up and the light's reflecting through the leaves and it's just so pretty. And all the birds that live in the trees and all the joy they bring. And I just thought, I just had this huge gratitude for trees, like massive gratitude. And I felt very guilty at the same time for not appreciating them before. So I was filled with this gratitude.
It's okay.
Yeah. And this love came, and I was just overwhelmed with this beautiful connection to the trees. And I lay down feeling all like, oh, amazing, and connected to everything in nature. And as I lay down, it was weird because I've closed my eyes and I lay down. And it was almost like I sunk into the ground and I became the soil. So I didn't have my eyes open, so I didn't look to check whether I had become soil, but I felt it, you know? And I felt part of the earth, and then I felt the earth breathing. I thought, oh, this is amazing. It's like I had no edges to me. There was no edges between me and the soil and me, and the earth and me and the earth, and me and the world, and me and the universe. And it was just like, wow, this incredible sense of oneness.
I love that.
It was just so awesome.
On that note, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and hear about more of Dr. Heidi's oneness. We'll be right back with Witches, Bitches, and Dead People.
Hey there, fellow seekers of the mystical and magical. Are you through with wading through the endless online noise, only to be met with judgment and skepticism about your otherly interests? Enter Rooted in Magic, your haven of curated wisdom and fantastical knowledge. Join our private membership program designed for the magically curious. Explore ancient secrets and metaphysical wonders. Unlock the mysteries of your true self in a 100% judgment-free zone. At Rooted in Magic, you're free to journey towards self-discovery at your own pace, supported by a community that understands and celebrates your uniqueness. Visit our website today and start your journey to understanding who you are, why you're here, and where you're going. Embrace the magic within you at rootedinmagic.com.
Welcome back to Witches, Bitches, and Dead People with Dr. Heidi Carby. She did coach me on how to pronounce that name. So, I love that idea of sinking into the earth and not having any edges. I actually feel like that with trees.
Yeah. Yay. You have it too.
Yeah, I love. Like, I always ask permission to make sure that they're open to me communing with them.
Yeah. But
I love when I sit at the base of a tree and it like hugs me. I hug them. So yeah. I love that they reciprocate that.
Yeah. And they do. They really do. Yeah. And they're so grounding and so stabilizing. There's some research, I don't know if you know, from the Forest Bathing Institute, where they've looked at the effect of trees on our physical bodies. And they have so many healing properties. There's these little things in the air, like oils that the trees give off. And if you've got high blood pressure, it will lower it. If you've got low blood pressure, it'll increase it. It'll balance it. No matter what you've got, it'll help you balance. And it's, oh, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I myself have experienced physical manifestations like that. I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. So my blood sugar is sometimes not where I want it to be. Mm-hmm. And if I'm in the woods, especially, I have this particular little hemlock grove that is super supportive of my well-being. I have to make sure I have a snack in my pocket because my blood sugar will drop so quickly.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Yeah. You can feel it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's sometimes there's special places that really call you, aren't there? And it'll be different for everybody. Somebody might be drawn to water, you know,
right.
Someone else might be drawn to mountains. You know, we all feel good in all these places, but some really call you. I think yours is trees. Definitely. Yeah,
absolutely. Like I'm sure you've seen the poll on social media, like, oh, do you want a house at the ocean or a house on the mountain or the house on the mountain overlooking the ocean? And there's always one that really resonates with people's souls.
Mm.
And there's no judgment. Whatever works for you is beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, it is. Oh, I like that. Yeah. So when working with people, it's really important to understand what helps them. So I don't say I've got the right answer, because what's right for me isn't right for you or them, or, you know, some things may overlap, but there's no one solution fits all. So I'm not that type of coach. I'm more of an intuitive coach where I will help someone recognize what it is they need based on their wisdom and their truth and their knowing and their body and their experience and all of that. Yeah.
That's so empowering.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like that's our job as a coach, to bring someone to the precipice of their own power and figuring things out.
It totally is. Yeah, it totally is. Yeah. It's really just creating that safe space to help them explore that and help them see it. Because sometimes they're so thick in it that they don't realize what's actually happening. It just gives a new context. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So you mentioned breath work and breathing.
Mm.
And I find that to be really powerful, but it is definitely not something that I have a deep knowledge in. So can you tell us a little more about your approach to breathwork?
Yes. So I've been doing my training with the One Breath Institute, and they focus on introspective breathwork. So breathwork where you go in and go within. And I do a conscious connected breath, which is a really beautiful breath. And we can do one if you like, a little demo.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. Okay then. So we'll do the breath and then I'll explain a little bit about it. So it's really about having mouth open. You breathe in and out through the mouth and you take a really nice, slow, deep inhale and put your tongue down a little bit in the lower jaw to create that space. And then a really relaxed exhale, no pushing, no forcing, just and feeling it, feeling your shoulders, feeling you sink a little bit as you relax. And it's a continuous breath, so there's no pauses. Just and just literally two or three of those and you feel better immediately. Yeah. But if you do it for an hour, and focus, it's quite hard to do that through the mouth, and you might get a dry mouth, you might get these physical sensations and things, and you do have to, I would say you do have to do it with a guide, because you might have some contraindications you have to be careful of, and it's not suitable for everybody with different health conditions, so you want someone there to check when you do it. But if you do it and it's safe to do it, then it can actually really open up things within you. It's a really emotional kind of sensational breath work. And really gentle. So it doesn't force you into a place that you're not ready for. It just opens up what you are ready for and what you need to release. So yeah, it's a beautiful, gentle way of doing it. So it's good for people with trauma.
I really liked it. Some of the breath work that I've done, you know, they talk about like filling your belly with breath and filling your pelvis with breath. And so many people don't know how to do that because they're such shallow breathers, and that's what they've done forever. Yeah. They look at you like, what?
Yeah.
My belly?
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, the very simple thing is if you do this breath and with a guide and you're doing it for an hour, it goes deeper naturally. You know, if you're a shallow breather, your breath will get longer and it will get slower and it will get deeper because you're training it, you know, each time. And it's just a beautiful way to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I love this approach. It's brand new to me, so it's fascinating.
Yeah, I like it because I've done so much meditation, and for me, the meditation takes me out of my body. It takes me to other worlds and other dimensions, and you know, elsewhere. Whereas the breathwork brings me into my body. So they're both deeply relaxing, both extremely healing, but almost a complete opposite experience. One is out of body, one is in body. So it's just another way of healing.
They both have utility in the process of self-discovery and healing and all the things we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I use both with clients and with myself. So yeah. Yeah.
So tell us a little more about some of the experiences you've had in meditation.
Yeah. Ooh. I've seen other lives that I've lived. I've had deep experiences of being in another life in parallel to this life. So I've been a nun running an orphanage with 50 kids.
Oh, wow.
In one life, yeah.
That's a lot.
I met my husband in that life, my husband that I have now. He was also in that life. We weren't together in that life, but we must be part of the soul family because we're together now. So we're teaching each other something. Yeah, I've been a black slave in a life before where I was on a ship going to America, I'm presuming, and there were loads of dead bodies. Loads of the people I was with, other slaves on the ship, were dying. It was just horrendous. And so there's lots of trauma, actually. Maybe that's just the lives I remember, the ones where some horrible death experience.
But maybe that's what you're working through, is healing that trauma for the collective.
Maybe. I went back with some guidance to heal the souls on the ship of that that slave ship years later. I thought, I need to do some work there. So Yeah. It's just, I don't know, so many experiences, so many wonderful things. I've seen fairies and dragons and angels and
I mean, the dimensions, experiences, awarenesses that are available to us are boundless.
Yeah, they are. And we're just touching like a tiny bit. I think there's so much more. We have so much potential as humans to really use our consciousness to connect outside of this physical space that we're so used to. There's other worlds and other dimensions and other intelligence and wisdom out there. It's just waiting for us to tune in.
Definitely. And we're so programmed that, you know, we have to work hard and follow someone else's rules and be a good girl. I can't subscribe. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's too many boxes, aren't there? And none of us are square shaped, so we're not going to fit in. No.
I'm not box shaped, so I'm just not even going to bother with the box.
Yeah, exactly. Don't need to. Yeah. Someone else designed that box. It wasn't you, so it's not your box.
Yes. Well, I know you have a gift to share with our listeners. Do you want to tell us a little about that?
Oh, yes. I'm doing some free breathwork sessions, some group online breathwork sessions. So you can join them from anywhere in the world, as long as it kind of fits for your time zones. So I'd be happy to share those. I've got them on my events page. So I've got three sessions coming up in April, and you can sign up for all or any or one or none as you wish. I'd be happy to share those. They're between 90 minutes and 60 minutes each one.
Awesome. Mm. Well, that's super exciting. And if people want to learn more about who you are and what you offer in the world, where can they do that?
On the website is easy. Yeah. And they can book sessions with me or even just a call to see what might fit for them, or if there's any questions that they've got, I'm open to that.
Awesome. So yeah. Do you have any retreats in planning?
Oh, we've got one coming up in May. It's actually a breathwork retreat, but there's meditation, breathwork, there's some self-development. There's loads of different sessions across 3 days, 17th to 19th of May. It's called the Here Retreat. And that's awesome too. So yeah, I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm.
That is super exciting. I really appreciate you spending some time with us today and sharing your story. That's where the magic is.
Yeah. Thank you, Jamie. It's been an absolute pleasure. Love it. Thank you for inviting me.
I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you next week on Witches, Bitches, and Dead People. Peace and badass magic.
Are you wading through the endless online noise only to be met with judgment and skepticism about your otherly interests? Enter Rooted in Magic, your haven of curated wisdom and fantastical knowledge. Join our private membership program designed for the magically curious. Visit rootedinmagic.com and start your journey of understanding who you are, why you're here, and where you're going. Embrace the magic within you at rootedinmagic.com.